Man, it is a great day, and of course, this is our Bring Your Best Offering weekend, and we have just had phenomenal services so far, and I just believe that this one's going to be even better, even though I'm preaching the same messages. Feel like God's building something, and it's been a special day. I want to thank all of you men who came out Friday night and prayed, and I want to let you guys know that we can feel the power of your prayers, and I so appreciate the men in the church just stepping up and those 300 guys coming out and praying Friday night. It's been an incredible, incredible day so far, and we're just going to continue it. So if you have your Bibles, you can take them out. You can go to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we are in the Blessed Life series. It's Bring Your Best Offering weekend. Just in case you're visiting with us for the first time, this is the weekend once a year here at Celebration Church where we encourage our congregation to bring the very best offering that they can over and above their tithe towards the furtherance of the work of God. Obviously, here at Midtown, it's our facility there at Bay Meadows and 9A. Y'all see all the stuff happening out there. We're getting there, man. It's construction's under full way, and they're getting everything ready to pour the foundation. And we're excited about having our first service in there in the fall of 2012. Can you guys believe it? It's going to be great. As I've said, you know, everyone says the end of the world's coming in 2012. So I think if that happens, God will let us have one service in there and then bring the end, if you know what I'm saying. So I think we're going to have several great years there. And we want to raise up a greater witness here in our great city of Jacksonville, Florida. And so 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, going to read an incredible story here of the prophet Elijah and the widow woman. I really believe, I almost went another way with the message here today, but I really feel like that this is like the word of the Lord on my heart. I believe there's some real prophetic things, not only for you and not only for our church, but also for kind of the season that we're living in our country and so forth. It's the story here of Elijah and the widow. In verse 8, it says, "The word of the Lord came to him, saying," speaking of Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. There was a severe famine going on in the land. It was just a horrible time to live in. This woman was basically saying, all I have is a little bit of flour and some oil. Me and my son are going to have our last meal and then we're going to starve to death and die. Verse 14, or verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." Everybody say, "Do not fear." Do not fear. So important when you're obeying God. It's so important when the word of God comes to you and it seems challenging. Do not fear. Fear is one of the greatest obstacles to us stepping out in faith and going to the next level that God has for us in his blessings and in his purpose. Elijah says, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. I want to talk to you about the miracle working power of God, how God can supernaturally bless you and bless your finances. And I've entitled this message, "Bring Your Best." Bring Your Best. Let's pray. Father, for these next 25 minutes or so, God, I just pray for an open heaven. Lord, I pray that everything I say would not be me, Lord, but it would be you speaking through me, Father God. Lord, we just thank you that you love us, God, that you want to bless us, and we're so excited for all that you're doing and that you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen and amen. Give you a little context about this story that we just read. Obviously, this is the prophet Elijah. And Elijah comes on the scene here in a very difficult time in the land of Israel because there is a king ruling named King Ahab. Everybody say Ahab. And listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that this King Ahab, he was more evil than any of the other kings before him. And if you kind of look at that language in the Hebrew, what it actually means is King Ahab did more evil than any of the kings before him combined. How many know that is a bad dude? And to top it all off, Ahab was married to this woman you might have heard of her. Her name was Jezebel. And so here was like this power evil couple. You know what I'm saying? It's Ahab and it's Jezebel. And of course, the name Jezebel is infamous. They're doing all this evil. They're enticing the children of Israel to idol worship and all these terrible things. And so the prophet Elijah comes on the scene. He says, look, there's idolatry in the land. There's not going to be any rain in the land until I say it can rain again. And so obviously there was this severe famine in the land. There was this severe drought. In fact, when we pick it up here in this story with the widow woman, I mean, this was beyond a recession. This was the recession of all recessions. This was like, you know, a depression. I mean, this was just like just a terrible time. And Elijah comes on the scene here, and it's real interesting. God says, look, I want you to go to this town called Zarephath. And believe it or not, Zarephath was the hometown of Jezebel. So what God's actually telling, you know, here's Elijah. Elijah represents the presence of God. Elijah represents the ministry of God in this season. And God's basically saying, look, Elijah, I want to raise up a witness right there in the hometown of Jezebel. How many of you know that God always wants his church to go to the darkest places, to go to the places where there's no witness, so that he can let the light of Christ shine? So here God tells Elijah, he says, look, I want you to go to Jezebel's hometown. He says, God, you know, yes, it's a terrible recession. Yes, there's all kind of, you know, things going on. I want you to go there. I'm going to raise up a great witness. And so Elijah goes there and he meets this widow woman. It's real interesting. He meets this widow woman and he says, hey, go get me some water. So right there, that was a big, big sacrifice, okay? So this widow woman goes, gets him a glass of water. And then he says, she's like on her way getting him this glass of water. And then Elijah says, hey, not only bring me some water, hey, bring me some bread. And that's when she just had enough. You know, and she's like, that's what she says, as the Lord lives. I mean, she gets this attitude. She's like, are you serious? Like it's like this, like, hey, preacher man. Like, hey, preacher man, do you know what's going on here? Do you know what kind of recession, depression, what kind of famine? Well, I mean, are you been up on your prayer mountain, like daydreaming? You know what's going on around here? We are in a terrible famine. There are no jobs. There's not only no jobs, there's no food. There's no water. I'm doing everything I can to get you a glass of water. And now you're telling me to get you some bread. Let me tell you about my life. Preacher man. Okay, I don't have a job. In fact, I'm so poor. All I have is this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil. In fact, it's so bad around here, I need like 5 sticks to make a fire. I can only find 2 sticks. The Bible says, she said, I'm going to get me 2 sticks. I'm going to get me 2 sticks. I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to make this little meal for me and my son. And basically, this is our last meal. I mean, this is it. We're going to eat this last meal, and then we're going to die. That's how bad it is. We are going to starve to death. Can I tell you this? Listen, none of us here at any of our locations today are having it as bad as this widow woman had it in this story. None of you in here today, okay, none of you in here sitting there like, Stovall, it's so bad. I got $10. I'm taking my kids. We going to McDonald's. I'm getting me 2 Happy Meals. We're going home, we're going to eat, and then we're going to die. That's it. Listen, you are doing better than this woman right here. And you know what I find about, you know what the enemy does? I find, especially in the church, because it takes resources to advance the kingdom of God. You know what the enemy does? He's always reminding us of what we don't have instead of what we do have. It doesn't matter what you don't have. All that matters is what you do have, because if what you do have, if you will give that to God, God will bless that. He will multiply it, and he will return it back to you many times over. Can I say, when you give to God, I want to remind you, when you give to God, and here's what this widow woman is going to find out. When you give to God, you understand it's not an expense. You understand when you give to God, you're not losing anything. When you give, like maybe you're giving to a political campaign, or maybe you're giving to, you know, some type of cause, and all those things are fine. But you understand when you give to those things, you do lose it. It's like an expense. But God says, look, if you bring your tithe or if you bring an offering, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I will pour out such a blessing on you, you can't contain it. The Bible says, God says, when you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken over, and running into your lap. The Bible says, if you sow little, you will reap little. If you sow a lot, you will reap a lot. Listen to me. God will always give you back much more than you could ever give to him, because God will be in debt to no man. Just like God cannot be second, he can only be first, he cannot be indebted to you. He will give you back so much more than you could ever give to him. Stovall, are you telling me that if I give to God financially, God has to bless me back? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Stovall, are you telling me that if I give to God and I put him first, that God has to meet my needs? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Let me ask you this question. If you repent in your heart and receive Jesus as your Lord, does he have to forgive you? It's not a trick question. I got a trick question later, but this is not that time, okay? Be confident. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, does he have to forgive you? If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, does he have to give you his grace? If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, does he have to save you? You know why we know that? Because that's what God's word tells us. This is how we know the nature and character of God. This is how we see, oh man, God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is good. Do you see? That's why God tells us this. This is how we know the Lord doesn't change. This is how we know that the Lord's love will never fail. God says, I've set my word above my name. You know what that means? God says, I'm bound to this word. People say all the time, you can't put God in a box, and you can't put God in a box, but I tell you what you can do, you can hold God to his word. And if God's word says it, it's your job and my job to either be fearful and not believe it, or say, Lord, your word says it, therefore I believe it, therefore I'm going to respond to it. And I'm telling you, that God will be in debt to no man. You can never, I've heard that growing up, you know, you can't out, when I got in the church, you know, hear preachers say, you can't outgive God. Bless God, hallelujah, amen. Don't you love those old preacher amens? I miss them. I used to listen to y'all be like, hey, you can't outgive God, amen. Amen, amen. Just do that one. It just feels good. Just say this. Just go, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, man. Bless God. Hallelujah. You got to love those old school preachers, man. I'm going to get a couple of them in here for awakening. I'm thinking an awakening. During awakening in January, we might have a night where it's like old time revival. What do y'all think? Like, what do they call it? It's like a go back, a throwback, like throwback old school revival. Man, get some of these great old preachers, man, been up in the Word. They're like 70 years old, man. They can bring it, man. They will bring it. They will just stare me down like I'm a little young nothing. What am I doing with this church? And that's the way I want them to be. Giants of the faith. Amen, amen. So first of all, this woman, you know, it's like, okay, so here comes the preacher, here comes the man of God, and he's like, look, remember, Elijah represents the ministry of God in the earth, okay? And a lot of times we look at this story, and what people think is like, yeah, this is about how God provided for Elijah. This is how God kept his ministry going in the earth during this severe drought and this terrible recession and all that. This is real, real important for the ministry of God to keep expanding, because in the near future, Elijah's going to have a battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. and he's going to defeat them, and he's going to bring a great witness and a great testimony to God, and thousands are going to turn to the Lord. Church, can I tell you this? We are in that season. We are going to Mount Carmel on Bay Meadows Road in 9A, and we are going to see a great victory for God there, and thousands are going to turn to the Lord. And a lot of times we look at this and we think this is about God providing for Elijah, but really what's going on here is it's God's providing for the widow woman. I mean, just think about this widow woman. I mean, come on, man. She is so poor. She has nothing. And here comes the preacher. I mean, can you imagine the nerve of Elijah going up to her and saying, hey, bring me some water and then bring me some bread. And so she says, what, are you crazy? You know what's going on around here, preacher? I don't got nothing. We're about to die. And so then Elijah, he kind of takes it up a notch. He says, hey, he changes it. Did you notice this? He changes his bread to like a cake. He's like, look, no, not only that, you go, forget the bread. I changed my mind. I want like a muffin. I want like a, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you're a good cook. You need to make me a cake. And then he says this, go in there, make your meal, make me a cake and bring all that to me first. In other words, don't think about yourself. I know you and your son are dying, but I need a cake. Now, honestly, think about this. This really happened. Just think about this if you were watching this scenario. Here comes a preacher man saying, this poor woman, yeah, give to me first. Make me a cake. Give me all you got. Doesn't that seem a little like selfish? Or a little like, I mean, almost like rude, like almost not caring. It reminds me of the story in the New Testament where the Bible says Jesus is sitting there and people are bringing their gifts and offerings into the treasury. And here comes a widow woman and all she had was two mites. And I don't know, like as a pastor, I'm thinking like if there was a woman here and she was a single mom and she only had $50 to her name and she had all these kids to provide for, it's just kind of like here comes this woman at the offering. I'm thinking like, the natural response is, hey, look, man, you need help. Look, we got money coming in. You hold on to your widow. You hold on to your two mites. Single mom, you hold on to your $50. Look, you need that. In fact, we'll bless you out of benevolence. But Jesus not only doesn't stop the widow woman from giving. He actually calls everybody together and makes an example out of her. And he says, you see this woman that came and gave those two mites? She gave more than anybody else. She's going to be blessed more than anybody else because she gave all that she had. And I'm telling you that no matter where you are today financially, you're not as bad off as this woman right here. And if you will give to God first, and I know some of you might be saying, just like she was saying to Elijah, so you don't know where I am. You know how much financial trouble I am. You know all this stuff that's going on in my life. I don't know, but God knows. And here's what God wants to do. God wants to meet your need, but God just doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. And this story is not just about Elijah being provided for. It's about God doing a miracle in the widow woman's life. Because he just didn't want to patch her up and give her some food to last her for another week. He wanted to do a miracle. He wanted to take this woman from a place of poverty to a place of prosperity. And I don't believe in prosperity for prosperity's sake, but I believe in prosperity with purpose. If you put God first and you say, God, I'm going to invest to expand your kingdom. I'm telling you, no matter what the economy's doing, God will make sure that your bin does not run out and your jar does not run dry. So in these bring your best offerings, a lot of times we think, oh, it's about the expansion of the church. Like people read this story, oh yeah, this is about the ministry of Elijah expanding in the battle on Mount Carmel and this woman providing for. We think, oh yeah, this is about the expansion of the church, and it is. But more than that, it's about God blessing you. It's about you coming into a place of a supernatural abundance. See, bringing your best is about you being blessed. Bringing your best is about you being blessed. Yes, it's about the church going forward, but more importantly, it's about you being blessed. Why? Because God wants to meet your needs. But God doesn't respond to need, he responds to faith. If God just responded to need, there'd be no hungry people. If God just responded to need, there'd be no sick people. If God just responded to need, there'd be no crazy people like some of you are. You're crazy. That would be my favorite just need-based God miracle. Just, you know what I'm saying? You're crazy. You scaring everybody. You're acting all crazy. Come on, God. Zzz, normal. There's so much need in the earth. There's so many people need money. So many people need healing. So many people need normalcy. There's so much need. But the way God meets our needs is through what? It's through our faith. That's what he's teaching this widow woman here. You give to me. I'm not just about getting you along for another week. I'm about taking you from a place of poverty to prosperity. See, every single one of you, every single one of us in here, there's four categories of where you are with your finances, okay? You're either surviving. That's where this widow, I mean, it's survival, man. I mean, you owe bills, creditors are calling, you don't know what you can do. I mean, it's crazy out there. Some of you are doing a little bit better than surviving, but you're still struggling. You're struggling. You don't have any creditors calling you, man, but I mean, you're trying, you know, you moving things around. It's difficult. You're behind on things. You're short every month. You're struggling. Some of you are solid. What that means is you're paying your bills. You're doing okay, but you're still pretty much paycheck to paycheck. Maybe having money for a few emergencies and a little things. You're solid, but you don't have any extra. And then some of you are in surplus. You have more, you have a little bit left over every month that you decide on what you're going to do with that. Are you going to spend it? You're going to invest it? You're going to give it? Whatever. Here's what I'm telling you, and here's my prophetic prayer in this offering, that wherever you are, God move you up that chain. If you're surviving or struggling, God moves you to solid. If you're solid, God moves you to surplus. If you're surplus, God even moves you to double surplus. This widow woman here, you ready for this? She went from being probably if the people are living and she's going to make her last meal and die, she's got to be one of the poorest people in this whole region. She went from being one of the poorest people in the region to being one of the wealthiest people in the region. In this type of famine, you're telling me you have continual oil and you have continual flour to feed you and your family. You have more than enough. She went from being the poorest person to one of the most blessed person, about to die to being the most wealthy person. Why? Because she was special? Because she was smart? No, because she chose to give to God a sacrificial offering to expand his ministry in the land. And God just didn't believe in prosperity, but prosperity has to come with purpose. And there comes times in our life when God asks for us an offering, not just to move his kingdom forward, which it does, but so that you will be blessed. Bringing your best is about you being blessed. You know, it's funny, we're having all these testimonies pour in, people that have started tithing and the miracles that are already happening. Don't worry if it's not happening to you, it's gonna happen to you. And one of the ones, I love this one we got this week. This guy, he started tithing for the first time a couple of weeks ago. And he gave his tithe, and so he didn't have money to pay his insurance bill. So he called the insurance company to tell them he was not going to be able to pay his bill because he gave his tithe to Celebration Church. Yes. God says, test me. Test me. See if I love hearing stories like the insurance company does not have the power to bless your finances. It doesn't have the power to give you a raise. It doesn't have the power to give you a new job. It doesn't have the power to give you new clients. It doesn't have the power to give you new streams of income. Do you understand we serve a creative God? God can bless you so many different ways that you can't imagine. So he calls the insurance company to tell them he's paid his tithe, so he doesn't have any money to pay his insurance bill. He calls him up and the insurance company's like, well, we don't understand. I'm looking at your account right now. You're paid in full for the whole year. So he freaks out. Argues with them a little bit. They're like, listen, you're paying here. Go online. Go see for your, you know, like go see yourself. Go look at your account. So he goes online. He looks at his, not only is his insurance paid in full for a year, but he's got like an extra couple of $100 in there as a cushion. Listen, your bin will not run dry and your jar will not run out when you give to God first. Elijah said, give to me first. How am I going to survive, Elijah? You give to me first and God will make sure that you always have a supply. Last week, I'm in New York City, and I'm preaching for this great church up there, and great church, man. I preach. I wasn't expecting anything, and sometimes when I go preach places, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes they'll give me an honorarium or an offering. So I'm preaching at this great church in New York City, and this guy gives me an offering for $1,000. I was like, awesome. As soon as I looked at it, $1,000, wow, great. The Lord spoke to me and said, give it back. So I did what any man of faith would do. I prayed and I said, God, are you sure? I tell you, man, you think we have it bad here? You ought to live in New York City, double the standard of living with 55% taxes up there. It's a tough place to live. I was preaching for this church, great church. They're starting a new campus, incredible church right there in Brooklyn and Queens. And so the Lord said, get it back. So I was like, okay, God, are you sure? And usually the Lord doesn't need to repeat himself. I just need to get that out. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to get it out. So yeah, okay, I'm going to give it. And so then I give that back, that $1,000. And then also God spoke to me about our church giving that church in New York City for their next building there, giving them $5,000 towards that. So I want to let you guys know you gave $5,000 to that church there in New York to start their next campus. So, by the way, I can't wait to tell you about this church that we're supporting in Israel, this Messianic Jewish congregation. It has Christian Jews, Arabs, everybody all in one, and the church is on Mount Carmel, right where Elijah's about to go. Oh, yeah, isn't that awesome? David, you're going to tell us all about that in a... Branker was over there, man. Branker can roll over there in the Middle East. You ever look at him? I tell you what, man. He'll roll right up in there in the Middle East vibe, man. He's got it going on. He'll put on those Gaddafi shades, man. He'll just roll on up in there like he was born there. Gaddafi has some shades, doesn't he? But anyway, I got to get back on this. So anyway, I get back to my house. Long story short, I had this bill that I was really kind of upset about. It was this bill with these attorneys. They charged like $2,300 to go over these contracts for my next book and stuff like this. And so anyway, I get back. It's 3 days later. I open the mail, and those attorneys have decided to reduce my bill by over $1,000, $1,100, and only charge me $1,200. Let me tell you something. God knows how to give seed to the sower. Your bin will not run dry. Your jar of oil will not run out. Well, Stovall, that's just coincidence. You given that $1,000 and 3 days later, $1,100 coming back. No, it's not. So that's just coincidence. That guy, that guy's crazy. He probably somehow paid his insurance bill. He just doesn't forgive. That's just coincidence. He started tithing. His insurance got paid in full. No, it's not. Is it just coincidence this woman gave that to Elijah and then all of a sudden she was able to supernaturally have her flour continually refilled and her jar of oil continually refilled? No, it's not. Listen, fear not. At some point, you're going to have to decide who is your master, who you're going to trust for provision. Elijah's name means Jehovah is my God. Every single one of us at one point in our lives are going to have to decide who we're going to trust, who we're going to be our Lord, and who we're going to look to as the source of our provision, regardless of how that manifests in careers, jobs, raises, or employment opportunities. I'm telling you, God is our source. And he knows how to bless you like nobody else can. Come on, can you give him a hand? I want to read this off of the envelope here. My best offering, 11/06/2011. Like I said, we do this once a year. Look, it says, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. That's what this woman did here. None of us are as bad off as this woman was. And God did a supernatural financial miracle in her life, taking her from probably the poorest woman in the region or one of the poorest to one of the most provided for, one of the wealthiest. You know what the other cool thing Elijah says is? He says, this will happen until the rains come. In other words, you know the rains are going to come back. How many of you know everything rolls in cycles? Economy's going to come back. Things are going to come back. Business is going to pick up. All that stuff's going to happen. But what God wants to show you is this. I can provide for you, bless you, and prosper you supernaturally as easily in the difficult times as I can in the good times. If you'll bring me the best and you'll put me first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I just pray right now, Lord, God, that all of us in our hearts ask you to speak to our hearts. God, as we bring you this once a year sacrificial offering, I believe, Lord, in all the integrity that I can say, God, that I've spoken your word to your people, Lord, that this is the word of the Lord for our church, that even in difficult economic times, God, as we give to you what we can and bring you our very best offering like that widow woman, God, our bin will not run out and our jar will not be dry. Lord, that means that you will supernaturally provide for us, bless us, even prosper us in this difficult time, Lord. God, because you want a witness in Jacksonville, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for all that you're going to do in all of our campuses as we expand this year. Bay Meadows and 9A, Orange Park, St. John's, all of our campuses, God. And we bring you our best. Right now, I just want you to search your heart. Allow God to speak to you. We are completely against manipulation. We are completely against pressure. It needs to be between you and God in response to his word. But church, look at me real quick. Listen, look. You realize we are the widow women. The ministry of Jesus is way more important than the ministry of Elijah. We are the widow, so to speak, here today. And if we will give to God our first and our best, and an offering over and above, even over and above our tithe, yes, include that, but over and above our tithe, he will do something so supernatural. It'll be, won't be able to contain it, just like the word says. I believe it'll be similar to this type of miracle here, where all you can say is, wow, God, look at your faithfulness. Look at your supernatural blessing in my life. Father, we just search our hearts. Help us to respond to you and obey. Lord, I thank you that you're going to move everyone from either struggling or surviving financially to solid. Those that are solid, Lord, move them to surplus. Those that surplus, as they give something significant, Lord, where it's truly an act of faith, God, that you'll move them to even more surplus, Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being good stewards. We bring it to you today, Lord, and as we bring our best, we know that we are the ones that are going to get blessed. We don't do it to get blessed. We do it because we love you and we put you first. But we know that blessing is a byproduct of that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.